Good morning, Krusty Krew. We are the Mail-In Podcast. I am your host, Brett Merriman. To my right, the lovely one and only, Sally DeFries. Good morning, Sally. How are you?
Good morning, Brett. I am peachy today.
Peachy? Mm-hmm. I like your nails today, Sally.
Thanks. These are actually getting changed tomorrow.
Ooh, what are you going with?
I don't know. The green was for spring.
Mm-hmm. We'll it matches see. Your phone case.
Oh, yeah.
You should just go the other color of the phone case.
Like a little cream color?
A little creamy, off-white, peachy.
That doesn't look great with my skin, but we'll see. I usually just see what kind of mood I'm in when she shows up to my house.
Oh, it's a traveling.
Katie, yeah.
Shouts
to Katie. She's the best.
Is she, what's your hair girl's name? Like the Iron Chef or something like that? Oh, the blonde leopard. The blonde leopard.
Yeah. Brittany, at the blonde leopard.
Blonde leopard. I cannot wait. I am rocking a new haircut.
Uh-huh. It looks very healthy. Looks very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Cannot wait to put some sun in this bad boy and get blonde.
We have debated putting sun in Rosie's hair.
Your dog?
Yeah, because she's got like highlights at the top of her head that get a little lighter in the summer when she's, you know, sunbathes outside. And I was like, should we just put some? She looks like she's got balayage going on.
So really?
I was like, let's just put some sun in.
Dang, girl.
I know. She's got locks.
Mine always gets more naturally blonde in the summer, but because my hair has been so long, I've been rocking a hat.
Yeah.
Every day.
So now you've got it. Now it's going to see the light of the sun.
Now it's going to see some light. Yeah. Although it's been kind of pretty cloudy for dreary the last couple of weeks in Austin, Texas.
Well, you know what they say.
Can always use the rain.
Oh, I was going to say April showers bring May flowers.
But what do May flowers bring?
Pilgrims.
Nice. All over that. Whole squad's on that. Randy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Do you actually use Sun-In?
I did a couple years ago. It makes my hair very blonde, but like streaky blonde, highlighty blonde. It's not very
I think the coverage isn't good. Let the sun do its natural thing.
I'm gonna let the sun do its natural thing and see where we end up.
I've been told to use lemon juice, diluted lemon juice. I use that sometimes.
I think that's I might be talking out of turn here, but I think that's most of what Sun-In kind of is.
I think that's true. You got to be careful with citrus, like lime and lemon, on your skin in the summer.
I always make sure that it's diluted, and then I spray it, and then do everything, and then I wipe down my face and everything.
Yeah,
I always make sure I wipe off my skin.
You don't want to be rocking third degree burns on your face.
Yeah,
no.
Sun-In is mostly, I know, hydrogen peroxide. I've heard that can make your hair super.
I feel like hydrogen peroxide is gonna go cat pee yellow though. No,
It hasn't for me, but okay. I know that's just in Sun-In.
Okay.
Along with lemon juice, chamomile, and aloe barbadensis, and water.
I'll stick to lemon juice.
Okay.
Little spritz bottle.
Yep.
We'll follow up on this in like 2 months.
We had one summer, I guess it would have been 2020, when we were like totally at home, and I would just go work by my pool.
Yeah.
I got really tan and really blonde, so I might have to run that back.
Yeah.
Which will be hard to do as we work in an office all day. But
summer of 2019 and summer of 2020, Will was the tannest human alive.
He has a good tanning to him.
2019 was like when he figured out our apartment pool setup.
Mm.
And he would go daily. And we were at a wedding and he looks like 1,000 shades darker than me. The problem was he would never lay on his stomach. So just the front half of him would be tan.
I have that problem too. Because I can't spend a lot of time in the sun as is.
Yeah.
Due to my fair complexion. So like.
Just get a spray tan.
I do. But I don't do them right.
Need to get loving tan.
What's that?
The mousse.
I do it a hush hush.
Right. I know. But you need to do it at your home by yourself with loving tan.
Is that the one where you put the mittens on and do the whole shebang? Mm-hmm.
It's the best one.
The everything shower? I know you're supposed to like exfoliate, go get the tan, wait a certain amount of time, then rinse it off. I don't, because I don't have anything to exfoliate myself besides like I have a scrub, but that's more of like a facial scrub, and I don't do the mitten thing before. So I just go and then I rinse it off 6 hours later and just rinses off. So I'm like tanner, but.
Yeah, good loving tan.
Okay.
No, it's fun.
Okay.
Should we jump into this episode?
No, I was just wondering, how's things? Are you excited about your hosting a party this weekend?
Yeah.
You don't seem as excited.
I mean,
a little kickback. I'm excited for it.
Great.
Because as much as I love like a kid specific event,
mm-hmm.
it's a little adult event.
Right? Yeah, I just don't want to host, to be honest with you.
Can I bring some? Can I bring an hors d'oeuvre?
Sure.
Okay.
Whatever you feel like.
Oh, maybe I'll do it. You want to get a little creative, Randy? Bring some hors d'oeuvres over with a little horse themed.
Sure. I might come.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Because I got a concert that night.
So do I.
So I think I'll stop by early, but only for a little bit.
Randy and I are going to show up at like 2:45.
Please don't.
Yeah, it might be like a 4 to 5:30.
That's kind of where that's where my ballpark.
Watch the race and then leave.
Because what's the race gets later every year. I think it's like a 6:19 Eastern.
I don't know. Well, that would be
5:19 here
Central. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll watch the race and then get a bounce.
Yeah.
Going to Need to Breathe this weekend at the Moody Amphitheater.
Wow.
Very excited. Oh,
I'm going to the Moody Center to see Brothers Osborne and Midland and Jason Aldean and Keith Urban and Jelly Roll and others and Lady A.
Wow. You really heart radio.
Yep. I heart country radio.
How about that? What's your next concert will be Dead & Co, right?
Yeah.
In Vegas at the Sphere.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, we are the
a lot of things that I'm just along for the ride on, not decisions I'm making.
Do you have any concerts that you're excited about or that are your spearheading coming up?
I don't think no. No, I did not get Justin Timberlake tickets.
JT? Is he still doing tours?
Yeah, he's about to do another tour.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him, man. He's got it made. He's kind of like...
I do also want to go see Zach Bryan in Houston. Might just go by myself.
Want to go to Dave Matthews at the end of this month for my birthday in Houston? At the Woodlands Amphitheater?
Oh, no, I'm out. I don't do... Woodlands Amphitheater in May could be very hot.
I'll go with... problem. I'll get Ryan, your brother-in-law.
Yeah, we'll he's roll from through. The Woodlands. Just pop over there.
A little Lupe Tortilla into Dave Matthews. Oh.
He loves the Woodlands.
Love the Woodlands to go are great. With you. Okay.
I don't have anything against the Woodlands. I'm just saying the Woodlands Amphitheater in the summer is not my jam. It's quite toasty.
You should get up to Saratoga Springs because that amphitheater, Saratoga Performing Arts Center, is awesome. And it's very shaded. There's like these big 100-something-foot tall pine trees. And middle of July, like it's like northern Michigan, 56 degrees at night. Concerts there are lovely.
The last absolutely concert lovely. I saw at the Woodlands Amphitheater was Drake and Lil Wayne.
Ooh.
It was very
That's
fun.
Awesome.
I sat in VIP.
Ooh, there we go. They used to come to Saratoga.
That's right, Randy.
Wow.
You're in the presence of a VIP.
Oh, look at that. That's a very important person over
what
there.
Was,
Brett.
What was the Northwest Indiana Amphitheater of choice, Randy?
It was, Tinley Park. The one, it's the Chicago one.
Okay.
I can't remember the name right now. I'm drawing a blank, but it's the one in Tinley Park.
Shouts to Tinley Park and Northwest Indiana and the Woodlands and you guys, the listeners of the Mail-In Podcast. We're going to answer some questions today. If you want to send your question in, there's a link in the description of this episode on our Twitter, on our Instagram, in my DMs, in Sally's DMs, Randy's DMs. Those are open too for more than just question inquiries, right, Randy?
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to figure out what it was. I think it's just the Credit Union One Amphitheater. That's not what it was always called.
There we go.
That's for sure.
Hit up the YouTube, see our faces. We got a video back this week, youtube.com/mailinpodcast to see my haircut, to see Sally's cool shirt.
Bing. Shall we?
Let's do it. Hey, Mail-In friends. Next year is my senior year of college. Got the kids listening to us. I can hardly believe how quickly my time in school has flown by. The thought of leaving the comforts of school for the potential dreariness of the real world is quite scary to me. If you could go back and repeat your senior year of college, what would you do differently? How can I make sure I am making the most of this last year of true freedom? Thank you guys for all you do. Listening to this pod has done wonders for me in college. It's helped me feel more prepared for my post-grad life. Well, thank you very much. Senior year of college, Sally.
Hook I had up. Three senior fall semesters.
How does that work?
Because I was supposed to graduate in 2011.
Okay.
So 2010 was my first senior
fall. Senior fall, yeah.
But I had switched to nursing school, so I had to do an extra year and a half. A
couple more credits to get done.
So I started nursing school in 2010. Mm-hmm. I was what a senior then. Business.
Hell yeah.
Business honors, actually.
Let's go.
Dropout. Business school dropout.
That's what all the cool kids do these days. Then they start a company.
So my senior year, and then I had a second senior year, which was actually really fun because we had a lot of friends who were fifth years because a lot of my friends did like the master's in accounting program.
Okay. So everybody's still kind of on campus doing
it. So people were like hanging around. And then my sixth senior year fall, that was a little more depressing.
That was like head down, just okay.
But I was just in clinical the whole time. So it was like I was working. I spent both my first senior year and my fifth year senior year in love with two separate dudes. And it ruined my life.
Those were your pining falls?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first senior year, 2010, 2011, was like a little weird because I had just started nursing school. So like while all of my friends were slacking off, I was having to like put in a lot more work.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I look back at college and I'm not like upset with any of the way that it went. I think if I could change anything about college, it'd be more about like my freshman year than it would be my senior year. Cause I think I spent a lot of time in college being really insecure, at least at the beginning, like assuming everyone else knew each other. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. That's kind of,
and
think
then realizing
that
like everyone is really insecure and doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What's that quote? It's like, you don't realize that you're in the good times until you're out of the good times.
Michael Scott.
Yeah.
You don't realize you're in the good days until you're out. Something like that. I don't know.
It was Michael Scott. You're right.
Yeah.
The good old days. You don't realize you're in the good old days until you're out of the good old days.
Right.
That's how college was for me. And I think trying to like sit around and be like, okay, we got to make every moment count.
Yeah.
That's the end of it. Because at the end of the day, your senior year, people are still having to do shit. Like you're still in college. You're still even more stressed probably because some of your friends are like trying to go get into grad school. Some of you are trying to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you have no clue what the hell you're going to do.
Sure.
I think trying to not sweat the small stuff. I mean, that's advice for everyone, but especially senior year, like not really getting caught up in stuff that doesn't serve you. So whether it's friend drama or freaking out about getting an A- versus an A+, like no one cares.
I feel like GPAs, unless you're trying to do some sort of either grad school or like super investment banking, like gotta have the 4.0 if you're not from Harvard or Penn or whatever, can take people over a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's sort of not out the window, but like people don't even put GPAs on resumes anymore, do they?
Yeah.
It's like
in the same vein of like no one has a clue what's going on in their freshman year, the same thing's going on senior year. I think I really let myself stress out about getting a job and things like that, which you want some level of stress because you want to have a fire under your ass. You don't want to let it fully consume you to the point of not being able to enjoy yourself.
Right. You don't want to turn a fourth year into a fifth year, not on purpose.
Right.
Or do you do? Or
but I mean, I think anytime you're in one of these stages of life, and I've been trying to do this with myself recently, is like while something's going on, and like in my stage of life right now, it's like that our kids are really young. And we're outside playing in the yard or whatever. I try to sit back and be like, look what my life is like right now. This is awesome. I'm really enjoying this. I need to be happy. I think you can do that during your senior year and be like, look how I'm surrounded by all my friends. I love this. This is great. Mm-hmm. Don't spend too much time worrying about how different it's going to be after when you all move across the country and how that's going to work and things like that. Cause you don't want to get so caught up in the future that you forget to like live in the moment.
Yeah. I think I'm a very similar case where it was like I thought I had a job in Denver like lined up, like verbal agreement,
yeah,
to the point where I was looking at apartments in Denver, my whole senior year. Also going through a breakup, which I don't recommend.
Yeah.
College relationships can quickly be not forgotten, but just you can move on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's you have plenty of time to find something else. But I was able to enjoy it to the point of like I had to Northeastern's a 5-year program as is. So I had overloaded my senior year to basically graduate early and get out.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had the job lined up. So I didn't need to get I didn't need to ace every class. I just needed to get out of there and pass them basically.
Right.
So I was if I was B plus and stuff, I was cool, done. I didn't slave away in the library. I'm not saying I focus on my studies, but I was just in cruise control kind of.
Yeah.
I knew what I had to do. I had the job lined up, thought so. And so I was able to enjoy it. But I think the chalk answer here is, don't forget to smell the roses kind of thing.
Yeah.
Shouts to Grandma Ludwig for that one. But it does, it can go by quickly. It can become a stressful time if you don't have something lined up. So I think the biggest thing I'll say is time in the long run is on your side. So don't stress about the lack of time you have in the short run before going to the dreariness of the real world. And the real world is not dreary. Or at least you can make it not dreary. You can. This is a year to set yourself up to do either what you want to do, either something that's going to set you up maybe financially is your goal coming out of senior year to be I want to make X amount coming out of college, and so I'm going to do something to put me on that path, or I'm going to figure it out kind of in the long, in the wash. And so you have the comfort of time, the comfort of opportunity, the options you have right now. And that may sort of seem overwhelming and sort of seem like it's coming quickly and all at once, but it's also the reason you have a senior year is to figure that stuff out.
Right.
It doesn't have to be all at once. It doesn't, you don't have to know what you're going to do. Like I graduated with a finance degree and then went into Barstool. You don't need to have everything figured out right now. And I think that is sort of scary, but comforting at the same time. You don't need to have grad school lined up. I mean, people don't get MBAs for 5, 6, 7 years until they're done. Unless you do want to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Right.
Then now's the time to start kind of planning that.
But I think less pressure you put on it in all aspects, whether it's your relationships, your friendships, not having FOMO, doing the most, blah, blah, blah. Just live your life.
Yeah.
Say yes to stuff. Don't be afraid to say no to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your time. Enjoy your friends. I mean, you could say that about any walk of life, but I think the more that I'm this type of person, I'm a type A planner. So the more I think about things, the more I stress about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really better to just let go of that.
Look at that little intro speech in there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you would do differently, Randy?
Nope. I really enjoyed my senior year. But then again, I was set up that I was part-time student first semester and the second semester, all blow-off courses and stuff. So I took as much time to enjoy the end of college as possible. Maybe some benders that I shouldn't have gone on. I would say the biggest thing that, looking back at college, I would have known going in and trying to do better is focusing on the career part, is building better relationships with my my professors and stuff. I didn't realize how big of networking was important in college.
Yeah.
I thought it was just more
sure is, yeah.
So it was all right, middle school, you go to high school. High school, you go to college. And then college, you get a job. I was oh, no, you have to actually know people and do stuff. That's the biggest thing. So if you don't know your professors, maybe try to get network a little bit better your senior year.
One thing I did that I loved my senior year, I was a TA in a business class. And that was – it was so – I don't know, rewarding, I guess, is the word. I TA'd for a resume building class. And something you meet with every kid in the class in the library, or in my case, the gym lobby. And I found it so much fun, just like helping kids who would walk in. The resume was like, you know, lifeguard and bagging groceries or country club, like bag attendant kind of stuff.
You need to get some clubs on here, my guy.
Yeah, get some clubs going.
Get some.
I started a club my senior year. Sportsman. Do not recommend starting a club. That is way more work than you need, but enjoy it.
Have fun.
Don't have everything figured out. You don't need it yet.
Do the traditions that your campus has. Like, one of my biggest regrets at Purdue is never going sledding on Slater Hill. I wish I would have done that in my undergrad. So, like, in your senior year, do the fun stuff that everyone does at college that you haven't done yet.
Randy, my vow to you is we'll get you sledding at Cedar Park Hill or whatever it's called.
Slater Hill. Slater. Nah, it's fine. It's the past.
Maybe if you live off campus, though, and you're trying to find something sort of economical and not eat Whataburger every day.
Especially because everyone is going to steal the dining trays from there.
Oh, that's how you did it.
That's how you did it, too. Okay. So maybe if you don't have dining trays, you could use this service.
Oh, you mean Green Chef, Randy?
Oh, yes.
You mean the number one meal kit for eating clean and the number one meal kit overall rated by U.S. News and World Report?
That's the very one, Brett.
Green Chef is awesome. Each week, you can choose from 80-plus flavor-packed options. Easily customize your meals to suit your lifestyle with preferences like keto, plant-based, Mediterranean, gut and brain health, calorie smart, quick and easy, protein-packed, or gluten-free. You can also take back time in the kitchen with dinner in 30 minutes and lunch in 10. They deliver everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. How it works, you basically, the week before, you pick your meal, your ideal situation, your ideal three or four or two, however you want to do it. And it shows up in a box. It's just the ingredients. So it makes you a better chef, Randy. They give you the tools to be your own boss in the kitchen. How about some Italian pork puttanesca spaghetti? Huh? Some spicy harissa turkey stuffed peppers? Are you kidding me?
I'm hungry already.
Chicken and bell pepper quesadillas, a staple of any Green Chef order of mine. You could also do it with a Barramundi salad. I know you're a big Barramundi fan.
Our last one was very Cinco de Mayo centric. Oh,
yeah? Pretty good.
We had like a cantina soup. Mm. Situation, which was delightful and very easy to make.
Sure.
Fritz even helped me, actually.
Let's go.
Then we had tacos, and then we had enchiladas.
I mean, that is
we love a Tex-Mex household, and it was healthier, so
we
easy.
Sure do. Go to greenchef.com/mail50 and use code mail50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/mail, M-A-I-L-50, and use code M-A-I-L-50 to get 50% off, plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well.
My next turn? Month.
Go for it.
Hey, mail and crew. In October, I met a great girl on a dating app, and we hit it off right away. We had amazing chemistry, similarities, and all that great stuff. Casually dated for about 2 months until she pulled back and said she wasn't ready. I was upset, but I accepted. Then in mid-January, she texted me and we started talking again. She apologized for everything and said how committed she was, and we were off to the races. Things escalated quickly and we became exclusive, would spend all of our time together, talk about the future, all that. Then in mid-March, she started to become insanely overwhelmed with work, working 60 to 80 hour weeks, and began to disconnect more and more. And then one day, out of the blue, she texts and says we should break up. Then she proceeded to completely disconnect, not even agree to see each other to talk, etc. Just absolutely crushing me. Then, a week later, she starts texting me to say how sorry she is, how bad she feels, which I don't accept. She keeps doing it until eventually she asks if there's any way to repair it. I guess my only question is, what the fuck?
The roller coaster situation here, Sal.
So they met, dated for 2 months, fizzled out.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't ready.
Then a month later, pick up again,
back
date for 2 months.
Back off to the races, he said.
Same thing, get really hot and heavy,
yep.
Break it off.
Yeah.
And then a week later, she's like, I messed up. And he's like,
yeah.
The hell?
Are we going to do this again?
One's
fine. Two, last resort. Three is a pattern.
Well, I think this is already a pattern.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah. The answer here is that it's not your problem, it's hers.
Mm-hmm.
And does it matter if you don't understand the inner workings of her brain? She's not your person.
That's kind of what it feels like.
I think also people really, she looks, seems to be like the type of person who likes to have someone on the hook.
Or what? Yes. And she also seems like the type of person who's like kind of mentally like, I need to prioritize this, and then it's work, and then it's a relationship, and then it's her health, and then it's her mentals, and then it's relationship. It, like, it's soup du jour with her.
Yeah.
And he is more of a go with the flow. Like, I like you, you know, but we're on the bike too long here. Right.
Right.
The intervals are too consistent. And at this point, May rolls around and June rolls around and it's going to happen again.
Right.
Because something's going to overwhelm her, or she's going to say she wasn't ready again. And something's going to get too hot too fast. And then all of a sudden we're back in the same boat.
Right. If she cared about him enough, and it's not about him, it's about her. If she cared about him enough, she'd make it work.
If she wanted to, she would.
When you find your person, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like to do it twice, especially in the like, I'm not ready, and then come back and be like, instead of explaining like, I'm overwhelmed with work, blah, 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 and then to text out of the blue and break up with you is like, that screams to me immaturity. Like, if she was into him enough, she would have made it happen.
She
probably likes the attention. I mean, and I'm not like saying that do what you want, but like, don't put stock in somebody whose whole relationship pattern is just like dating you when it's convenient for them, liking having the attention from you, et cetera, et cetera. She probably like got busy with work, went out into the real world afterwards and was like, oh shit. Like, it was really nice to have Gary there whenever I wanted.
I think she probably likes this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, she's clearly not ready.
Just spilled coffee on myself.
She's clearly not ready for whatever level of commitment he is ready for. And
right.
So it's dipping the toes back in the water. It's fun. It's dating. And then it gets serious. And that is evidently scaring her off.
Yeah.
To the point of, well, here we go again. And then she's like, well, I do like this person, so I'm going to get back in their life, but I don't want to go that speed. And then the speed gets too quick. And then we fall back down the hill and cut everything off.
Right. It's not worth investing time in a person that's fickle like this.
Is clearly not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, like, move on, but if it happens, she's going to reach out again in June and then August and then December. And you just, if you want to be on the roller coaster and let it go for however long, it's only going to limit your options or limit your like capacity for a relationship, because you're always going to be wondering, is she coming back? Are we good? Are we great? Are we done? Are we, you know? And I think that's just no way to go through a year of life like that.
For me, it's like the feelings that you get when you're with her, no matter how great they are, do those outweigh the feelings you have when she just abruptly ends it for no reason?
Mm-hmm. And at this point, even if you do get hot and heavy again, you're always going to kind of have some sort of like, is this going to last?
These are the type of people too, that you have a relationship like this with them, and then the next person they date, they like marry. And you're like,
yeah. You're like, oh, you weren't ready for me. You were ready, but yeah.
That, and again, this all goes back to like, as human beings who have egos, who are self-absorbed, and I'm saying that all in like the best way possible. Of course, we want to know like what's wrong with us, but it's not a him problem. It's a her problem.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not her person. That's okay.
That's okay. That's okay.
But I think we spend so much time trying to do a postmortem on relationships or friendships and wondering what went wrong. And really, like, a lot of the time it's just not good.
Yeah. It's just not,
not good timing, not good chemistry, not your fault.
So you're justified in saying what the fuck. And I think in this season of life, you guys aren't right for each other.
Yeah.
And move on, maybe the harsh reality here, but I think that's probably my best advice in this situation.
Right. I mean, and of course, the situation is like insanely frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely.
and annoying and very much of a mind fuck. But the more time you spend trying to figure it out, the less time you have to like go off and find someone new.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that the more you can get out and not think about it, the more you'll maybe find either somebody else or find that that situation was, you know, pretty emotionally crippling or however you want to call it. And you don't have any right to be in this emotional mind fuck 24/7.
Correct.
No, you don't have that right. Get off the roller coaster.
You're done.
Focus on yourself, King.
Ride's over. Next one, Sal. Here we go. Brett and Sally. I'll throw Randall in there, too. If you know about pregnancy and mother-in-laws.
Oh, of course I do. I know he's got a lot to add here. Actually, I could just take this question.
Brett and Sally, love what you guys do here. Thank you very much. I'm pregnant with my first baby. Congratulations. And my mother-in-law is driving me bonkers. We've had some issues with overstepping her boundaries, such as telling us what religion we should raise our kid, which she shared before we were even married. But things seem to have gotten worse from my point of view. This is her first grandchild, so I understand she is excited, but I need to know if I'm overreacting. She went out and bought us a stroller without us telling her which one we wanted after we had all made plans to go to Bye Bye Baby together to test them out. We hadn't even gotten a chance to go to the store. She then decided she wanted to do the food for my baby shower, and she picked out all bizarre food that pregnant women can't eat, such as sushi. She told us she was buying an air mattress for when she sleeps at our house when the baby is born. Keep in mind, she lives 5 minutes away. Most recently, for Mother's Day, she asked for a Ralph Lauren diaper bag for her gift. This pushed me over the edge, as I do not even have a diaper bag for myself, and I feel like she is making our baby all about her. Am I overreacting, or does my husband need to step in and help set some very clear boundaries? It is stressing me out.
I feel like we get a question like this all the time. And it's like, where do these mother-in-laws come from? But what are these husbands doing? So, step in.
Right. There's like a step in. There's the angle of, I'm sure this husband does not want to, like, that's his mom. It may be hard for him to say, hey, mom, stop. Like, that's her baby. They might have an interesting relationship where he's pretty beta, for lack of a better word, in telling her that she stopped overstepping. And now it falls on the pregnant wife in the situation to be more of the, hey, please stop doing what you're doing. Yeah. And you don't want to hurt your husband's feelings. You don't want to hurt your mother-in-law's feelings. You don't want to create any sort of tension. What do you got? I feel like the look on your face
is great. I agree with you. I love a good bonkers mother-in-law story.
Oh, yeah.
We dine out on these all the time, my friends and I. Because my friends,
great word.
Some of my friends have some truly, truly bananas mother-in-laws. Yeah,
no problem for me there, Rainey.
Just absolutely bonkers. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a couple things. Number one, is already tough when you have an in-law that's overstepping boundaries. Mm-hmm.
Even regardless of the baby.
Prior to a child being born. And we have talked about this before, but one of the biggest pieces of advice that I can give you as a couple, either before you're married or when you're married or when you have children, et cetera, is to go to couples counseling and specifically talk about your in-laws and what your boundaries are going to be and how you're going to respect your partner's boundaries and how you're going to protect your partner from your parents and their in-laws, okay?
Yep.
Because in my opinion, especially when you're a newly married couple or a couple that hasn't been together for 20-something years, and even when you have been a couple that's been together for 20-something years, the person whose parents it is the person who gets this to set the boundaries. It's their flesh and blood, right? That is a really hard concept for parents to understand, especially when their child might be the first one who's married. You might be a mama's boy. They're the first one who's having a kid, et cetera. That like, they don't understand that when you marry someone, you, and then you have a child, you are now a new family unit and they are
secondary, an
extension of the unit, but they're not the immediate family. Okay. We have dealt with this. We've dealt with this from my parents, who have very strong opinions about how I raise a kid.
Sure.
That I've had to say, we're not doing that, mm-hmm. and it's none of your business.
Yeah.
All that being said, it is absolutely his responsibility, your husband, to set those boundaries when you're married, when you're having a kid, whenever you have to go home for Thanksgiving, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. It's his responsibility. And you can add to it, but in my opinion, that's the spouse's job.
Yep.
To deal with their own parents. It becomes like a pressure cooker situation when you add a baby into it, because you are also pregnant. You have hormones coursing through your body. And your husband's job as the pregnant one is to not only be like tending to you, making sure you're doing okay, like helping support you because you physically and mentally are going through the fucking gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
He also needs to be the bouncer of your emotions, essentially, in my opinion. And that means protecting you from people who are going to bring down your mood in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's your like bitchy best friend who did something annoying, whether it's, you know, his mom, mm-hmm. whether it's your mom, like as a men, I'm speaking men or women who have a partner who's pregnant and you're not the pregnant one, your job, since you're not carrying a baby, is to protect their emotional well-being. Number one.
Sure.
Number two, if your husband's not willing to do that, and even if he is, it's also your job to maintain those clear boundaries, because he can set them, but you also have to maintain them.
Yeah, you play a role in maintaining them.
It's okay to say, we're not having people stay with us when the baby's here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, again, this goes back to any boundary we've ever talked about. You don't owe any explanation. It's your child. Mm-hmm. It's your family. It's your house. You don't have to tell anybody shit. You could have your mom staying with you and say, we're not having anyone else staying at our house. You'd have your best friend or sister staying with you. Sorry, they're staying, but no one else is staying at our house. Your mom or your mother-in-law buying an air mattress to stay at your house when the baby's there is a huge overstep, in my opinion, for a myriad of reasons. But when you have a baby, and you and your husband and your baby are figuring out a life together and how that's going to look, whether or not you're getting help, you get to decide who's there for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can go ahead and kibosh that. That's so great that you bought an air mattress. We're not going to have people staying at our house.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a bitch about it. It probably, she's going to be, take it as bitchy, which is fine.
Yeah, it's not like you need her approval right now. Right. Like you're on this path. Yeah.
So that's great. And if you feel like you need to say something, we want, our family needs privacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to say. Number two, about the stroller. Thanks for buying a stroller. That can live at your house.
Yeah, that can be grandma's stroller.
That can be your stroller. The important thing is that you're not alone in this feeling. This is a very, very common clashing. I think it's the same way that women feel about their moms during their own wedding. It's like the mom turns it into her wedding.
Yes.
You know, but
yes,
it's not her wedding. Yes. It's your wedding. And you're like, okay, well, my mom has like totally, you know, like overtaken this. I mean, I think there are women whose moms do this also when they're pregnant. Oh, sure. Like, oh, this is my grandbaby, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. Let them have their moment. But people aren't dumb. Probably all your friends are like, this lady's bananas.
Mm-hmm.
She probably doesn't give a shit. But at least your friends know that she's crazy. That's fine.
I think I was trying to like sort of psychologically analyze the mother-in-law here.
Yeah.
She's nervous because maybe he is a mama's boy. His attention's going to go all to this baby, all to you. She's holding on for dear life to some sort of childhood semblance. So she wants to be there, wants to be around.
Right.
Maybe things back at home are just, you know, this is the first sort of excitement she's had in a long time because the kids have flown the nest for however long. And that's understandable, but you are absolutely right in saying that, like, nope, this is our unit.
Yeah.
You can say what's up. You can say hi. You can whatever. But we're doing it our way as a team.
One thing that I think I hear my friends complain about the most with regards to in-laws, whether it's their mother-in-law or their own mom, is, you know, my mother-in-law or mom only want to take care of the baby or help out on their terms. Mm-hmm. Very few people in my life have a great relationship with their mother-in-law to the point of like, she's so helpful, she does this and that. More often than not, it's like, oh, so-and-so only like wants to come over when it like fits her schedule. She's like not willing to babysit for us and things like that. The fact that she lives close, that's great. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Susan. Come on over on Thursdays and use that to your advantage. Spend time with the baby. I'm going to go work out. That's going to be your time. This will be Susan's special time. Give her that.
Yeah. Olive branch it in a way with like, let's set up legitimate time or a legitimate schedule, but not so open-ended that it's like, oh, mom's crashing here for 6 days.
It's really important to know that everyone goes through this and that it's not worth letting your mental health deteriorate over it, because she's going to continue being who she's
going
to be.
And you have enough going on as is.
You have enough going on. Don't let the diaper bag thing bother you. It would be different if your husband was like fawning all over his mom all the time. Yeah. It doesn't seem like that's happening, or at least she didn't mention it. Let her be selfish. It's not affecting you in the sense of like, you're not going to get presents and things like that. She buys for the stuff for the baby that you don't want. It can live at her house. Mm-hmm. You can easily say, you're not coming over. We're not having visitors at this time. But all of these things are going to keep persisting as the child grows older. So what becomes like, we're not having you sleep over becomes like, hey, we're not having random pop-ins.
Yeah.
So what boundaries you set now are just going to evolve in the like further boundaries that you have to set. Like we're not taking feedback on what religion or what, if we choose to vaccinate our child or not, or we're not taking feedback on how we decide to raise our kid. We're not, you know, I'm not going to be basically like have an emotional terrorist, like, who gets upset that she can't see my kid during XYZ because it's too overwhelming for us. I think that is always a battle.
Sure.
Parents in general. Mm-hmm. It's so important to practice setting boundaries so that you continue to be good at it. Mm-hmm. Because setting boundaries now before the baby's here and keeping them firm makes you better at setting boundaries maybe when they're three and grandma doesn't keep a schedule. And every time she babysits overnight, the baby stays up till 11 p.m. and had candy and like totally fucks up everything for you the next day. Yep. And let me tell you, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's two things about that, though. One, if someone's offering to watch your child for free, you're kind of like beholden to whatever they want. Yeah. Number two, sweating small stuff like that, unless they're like fully impacting your daily life. Mm-hmm. But like, I used to get so pissed because my mom wouldn't like put down Fritz at the exact right time of the schedule that I had set. And then I'm like, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, if he napped 30 minutes later, is that going to change his entire life outlook? No. Mm-hmm. So you got to pick the battles.
Pick your battles. Yeah. Choose your battles wisely, right?
But number one, first thing to do is have a conversation with your husband. Explain your feelings. Explain that you need him to kind of step up and be the go-between. Mm-hmm. And then both of you need to practice being really firm with her.
Agreed.
I'm sorry. Also, like, go to lunch with your girlfriends and
spill it
and bitch about her.
Yeah.
The sushi at the baby shower is like something should have a comedy.
Like, that's like the same thing, Larry, as the mother-in-law wearing the like the very, very light lavender lace dress to somebody's wedding. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just be fucking aware of what like of just general like. That's a bananas move. I think people would be like, wait, what? Like,
that's Larry David thinking he's doing something nice for the baby shower by getting catering sushi.
It's something should have a rom-com that has like a mother-in-law like villain. And I feel like those types of mothers-in-laws, like the kind of like flaky, the husband should know that their mom is like that. So they should.
Yeah. There's a lot of husbands though that even when they have a wonderful relationship with their wife and a wonderful relationship with their mom, a lot of people are non-confrontational and don't want to deal with it.
Totally.
Like, and unfortunately, you owe your spouse that. Mm-hmm. You know, you owe your protecting your spouse's feelings and well-being and yeah. mental well-being.
Even against your own flesh and blood.
Right. So, but I see this with a lot of people that I know. It's like the husband's like, I don't really want to rock the boat with my mom.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Now you have a wife and a child.
Happy wife, happy life. You got to take yeah. your wife's side.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mom's number two now.
Yeah.
Because your wife is number one, Randy.
Yeah.
You know what you'd good for some maybe some pregnancy or post baby or work or play or
breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Or if Randy's case going to Ren fairs all over the US. How about some liquid IV? Because you need to be hydrated, Randy, Sally, everybody out there. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. And Liquid IV is here to hydrate you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. I always like to say there's a Liquid IV for every situation. Feeling a little run down in the afternoon? Energy blend. Mm-hmm. Maybe a rough night. Gotta rehydrate. Electrolytes. Liquid IV, either sugar-free or standard.
Sniffle coming on.
Little sniffle coming on. The immune booster. Bada bang, bada boom. A little tangerine in that bad, Larry. I'm on the white grape now. You guys familiar with white grapes?
Uh-huh.
There's green grapes.
Yeah, so I mean, good. I just assumed that what that was.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So good. So good. I know Sally's been on the Concord grape for a minute.
I'm always on that Concord grape.
Always on that Concord grape. Randy is just, you put Liquid IV in front. He goes through it more than anybody I know.
Yeah. I mean, I got me and my roommate. He's a firefighter. He needs that that hydration. Concord grape is gas, though. So good.
He does need the hydration, usually to help put out fires, but also to hydrate himself after he does that. How about that? So here's the deal. Tear, pour, and live more. One stick, 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than water alone. It's the LIV, the Liquid IV Hydra Science. Randy, you familiar with this stuff? Science-backed formula that's optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. So turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV and get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code MAILIN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MAILIN at liquidiv.com. What the next one, Sal?
Hey, fam. Awkward situation here. I manage a sales team and I have great relationships with each one of them. One of my top performers who is on pace to hit his goal, top in the country, just broke up with his long-term girlfriend of 2 years. Context. They worked together, then she quit 1.5 years ago. They were very serious and were thinking of buying a house together, but she ended up cheating on him while he was away for the weekend.
Ooh.
As his friend, I feel bad for him. And you know, we've grabbed beers and talked it out. But as his boss, how do I push him to keep grinding and hit his goal with 2 months left?
This feels very Office episode-y.
Yeah. Okay. Is he saying he has great relationships with each person of the sales community?
He is the boss in the situation.
Right. But he clearly has relationships with both of these parties.
I would assume he probably knows the ex-girlfriend here,
okay.
But much closer with the guy in the situation.
Well, she says that she quit 1.5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's just every member of the team.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Rub some dirt on it, guy. Get that jump off the mat. It's not how hard you get.
I mean, if he's your friend,
or something. It's how much you jump back into the fight. That's a Brett quote.
Yeah, just sent him motivational quotes to his email daily. Like, I think you keep being his friend and also his boss. Like, keep taking him out to beers or meeting up with him on the weekend for a bike ride or doing whatever it is that y'all normally do. In order to like keep his head from like moping, you know?
I'm thinking of like this guy's like he's managing this kid and like his bonus relies on how if this underling hits his goal, so he's like, come on, buddy, like, yeah, help him out.
Both of us.
Yeah,
this is, I mean, clearly, but I also think. I don't think that you just keep doing what you're normally doing unless he's like fully gone into depression, like just, not coming into
fully
work.
out of the loop on
and
it.
And then you have to have an intervention.
Like,
it's like
you would do it for a college roommate or a buddy who breaks up with his girlfriend or gets a divorce. Like, help him get off the mat. Don't overstep. Don't be like, dude, let's go to Tilted Kilt and get you some like.
Well, and
flirtation.
Don't make it all about work either. And be like,
yeah. Buddy, need you to come through.
Need you to get up, come meet your goal.
Yeah.
You know?
Or do you try to distract him with stuff, work and prospects and sales?
Well, I think there's like a good mix of that. If you're already like, if you were his friend, not even part of his work, you know, if your friend got broken up with, wouldn't you kind of already like be telling your friend like, hey, why don't you just like focus on other things like right now,
you'd
like
still
work?
Be playing that like a head distractor role. Or yeah. Like, hey, put your energy and time into something else, moping and being, you know, depressed about it is not going to help.
Right.
So let's channel that emotion somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest thing in this question is like said, I think it's just because he's a friend and he cares about the person. Never said that his productivity is like declining in that question, just, right? It's like, if that is the thing, then you need to address it. But maybe you don't know how this guy's
going to
react.
Like, doesn't get out of his bed for 2 weeks and you haven't seen him, then that's like an intervention situation. Yeah. But like, I think you keep on keeping on. Maybe obviously check in a little bit more, like every day. How are you doing? Everything going good?
Yeah.
How can I help? Want to go grab a drink after work and talk about stuff?
Yeah, we can talk about work. We can talk about relationships. We can talk about the Washington Nationals. Like, we don't have to keep it. But they're obviously friends outside of just the boss subordinate relationship.
Right.
So like, let's get into the weeds on anything. Get your mind anywhere else but where it goes to affect your productivity. And let's get you rocking and rolling. Like, provide him help. Be like, hey, let's do some calls. I'll hop on with you.
Yeah.
Let's go golfing. Let's get a client in town. Beer's on me. Like, let's get back into it. Cause you know, there's, it's going to take a second for him. He got cheated on with a person he thought he was going to live together with. Like, it's not going to be sunshine and rainbows right away.
Yeah.
But a healthy balance of,
I don't think you need to like
and distraction.
Show up day one post breakup. Okay, let's get this goal.
Get after it. What are we doing?
But
here?
You also don't have to sit back and like coddle him. Like he's an adult.
Yeah. He's a big boy. Yeah. He sounds like he's a phenomenal work. Maybe you'd lean into that. Be like, dude, you're the best. You're the fucking man. Her loss.
Yeah. He could just throw himself into work and you don't even have to do anything. So just only address it
encourage.
If it becomes a problem. I think that's the thing is like, if you were not friends with him, just your boss, you were just his boss. Like, you would not know what's going on in his life and nothing would change.
Right.
I'm imagining like maybe he doesn't hit his goal. I wouldn't get on and be like, oh, you suck. Like,
a shitty year for you.
Yeah,
huh?
Shitty year for you. Yeah, man. I wouldn't do that. But he said he's close to hitting his goal already. So like sales goals kind of get convoluted anyway. They tend to ignore a number of macro and microeconomic factors, but
keep it light, address it if it's an issue. That's about it.
Hey, gang. Not overcomplicated, but still throwing me for a loop. I'm a 26-year-old guy in STEM. I've been dating my current girlfriend for about a year now. Everything is pretty good, and it's the most stable relationship I've been in. Problem is, I've got a huge crush on my coworker. We only recently became friends. We work on the same floor and under the same larger project, but not day-to-day stuff. Eat lunch together every day with a large group. Usually ends with just her and me talking.
AKA wasting shareholder profits.
Okay. Sorry. I blanked for a second. She's funny, gorgeous, definitely flirty, but so am I. Also recently single. She knows I have a partner and nothing overt has happened, but the vibes are there. I'm trying to get a handle on the whole thing. I'm not going to dump my girlfriend to be with her at the moment. Okay. But the amount of flirting going both ways makes me feel like a scumbag. Should I address it with my coworker and try to keep close contact minimal? Should I just start giving her the cold shoulder? Need help.
All right. Don't give her the cold shoulder. Like work is priority number one here with a coworker that you're working on a project with. It's cold shoulders. That's not a feasible
option.
That's, don't do that. Then you need to decide like, is this a grass is greener situation? Are you putting somebody on a pedestal because you don't know the inner workings of their personal life or whatever it might be? And like it happens all the time. It's work wife, work husband. Yeah. You guys work really well together. You get along, but you only see each other for 4 or 5 hours a day.
And you have this like thing in common where you bitch about what's going on. And
yeah.
Because you have that common bond, mm-hmm. but you don't know if you're like compatible outside of life,
yeah.
outside of work,
mm-hmm.
in regular life.
Yeah. And eventually if you really, if it comes to a breaking point or like something's about to happen, then you have to decide. And it's like, all right, am I leaving stability behind for something that I'm unsure of? And it might be the best decision ever. Or are you going to say, we got to shut down whatever's outside of the work boundary and just, we can't do that kind of
thing. Yeah.
So I think it comes down to is it wishful thinking, grass is greener, temptation, or is it real? Is it real life emotion, real feeling, real like, not just flirtatious work environment.
But he's stuff. Not going to dump his girlfriend for her.
Said that.
At the moment. Yeah,
he said at the moment. Yeah.
Right. To me, that's the red flag. And that, like, at the moment. So you, in a month, you might just be like, yeah.
In theory, there comes a point where you're like, I like this person more than my girlfriend.
Right.
And you have to decide whether you want to pursue
there.
It, which, oh yeah, he's teetering.
This is
to say the least.
This is a drunk happy hour or like
your Christmas party thing. Away from Ooh. Really, really jumping on this.
Yeah, exactly. Good thing it's May.
Careful at the Cinco de Mayo party and the Memorial Day weekend.
I have a hard time with the work wife, work husband thing. But I also, yeah. I think I'm not really a jealous type.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would make me jealous.
Nothing to worry about here.
Oh, well, Will's been saying I'm his work husband.
I think part of the reason that I haven't, like, I don't have great advice around this situation,
mm-hmm.
at least like what I would personally do, is because I think Will and I are in a very unique position where like Will doesn't have a work wife because.
Sure doesn't.
Who would it be?
Randy.
And number two. I think my work environment doesn't really lend itself to that. Like mm-hmm. working in medicine.
I've seen Scrubs and Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend that that doesn't happen at hospitals, but for my work, there are very few people that I work with every day that like I have that kind of rapport with. I have like rapport with people, but mm-hmm. I always tell Will, I'm like, you came to our hospital.
Not exactly
But I've just never been that type. I think that definitely goes on in medicine. It's
oh, yeah.
probably definitely happening at my hospital. And by probably, I mean, it's definitely happening at my hospital. That's just never been my vibe. I mm-hmm. barely have friends at work as is. I have mm-hmm. like one work friend
okay.
that I see outside of work at non-work sanctioned events. And everything else, it's like I'm cordial with my coworkers. I want to know what's going on in their life. I joke around with them. We talk, et cetera. But like I have no investment. In their lives.
Sure.
Which makes me probably sound like a terrible person, but like that's just how I've always been because uh-huh. I maintain relationships outside of work.
Yeah, totally.
But also the way that like I'm not on projects with people or like emailing anybody well into the night about something
right.
going on.
There's some sort
that
of
that just
like,
doesn't exist just in my scope of work.
Right.
So I think the work wife or work husband thing has always been hard for me because I can't see myself being that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that if my partner, if Will was like that, if y'all had some girl who works here that he was like constantly in contact with, I'd kind of be like, all right.
I mean, because it's like you have to develop that relationship. You're going to be better as a company.
Right.
That relationship needs to be strong. And that's why dipping your pen in the company ink can go horribly wrong.
Right.
If something goes wrong with that relationship. Or at home, and then now you just severed like a tie within the business.
And you don't meet your goals.
You don't meet your 2 month sales goal.
Right.
It is a complicated situation because I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's like, are you just feeling this way because y'all have the shared interests? You're working on projects together. She's cute. You're cute, et cetera. Like she's not your annoying 50-year-old coworker who has like 20 cats, like mm-hmm. whatever it is. But then like if y'all started dating, would it translate into the outside world?
That's the question. Yeah.
I think that's every single office place romance. Totally.
Yeah. Is it flirty? Like,
totally. Is it flirty?
Is it flirty and fun, or is it actual feelings?
Yeah, right.
It's like the group project in college. It's like, oh, she's pretty cute.
Yeah.
Or I mean, this happens probably every company where there's more than five dudes hanging out in an office.
Right.
It's like,
I
guess the question is, do you let it blossom, or do you stay flirty? Because you don't sever, you don't cold shoulder. No. Do you keep close contact minimal? Also, probably no, because you're working on projects and seeing each other every day. You're eating lunch together every day.
But well, I think you can cut back on some of the like eating lunch together every day.
Do you say, oh, let's go get a drink afterward? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably don't engage in the flirting too. Like don't, you know, be the first person to do it.
Yeah, keep it cordial. Wait till she gets another boyfriend and then you're good. Or you make the decision to blow everything up. And
for me, it just kind of sounds like he's already ready to do that.
Kind of does. He's 26.
I think he needs to like really look at his relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Is she filling an emotional or physical or mental void?
Great point.
Or are you, how can I put this? Are your boxes and buttons and voids being filled at home? Is she adding to one? Is she a different kind of one, or is she filling one?
Do you actually have feelings for her that you never actually had feelings for with your girlfriend?
Correct.
That you just like the stability of that relationship? Like there's a lot that you have to probably
examine the one
examining at, your actual relationship now.
Take an introspective look at the one at home before thinking about the greener pastures of a work wife.
Yeah.
And then make a call.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here, Sally. Anything else you want to?
We'll save this. Hop last into. One for next
we'll save
week.
The last one. Nothing.
That's it for me. I'm gonna go get some tacos.
I'm starving. Anyway, we are the Mail-In Podcast. Please subscribe, rate 5 stars, review, tell a friend about the show. Write in the link in the Twitter bio at Mail-In Podcast. And Sally, where can the people find you?
Sally DeFries on Instagram and Twitter.
I am Brett Merriman at Schmerriman on both of those platforms. That's Randy Trembacki. What's your
at Randy Trembacki on everything.
There you go. Talk soon. See you guys next week.
Bye.